The final piece is belonging, and that is really finding your people, finding your place and your people, understanding who you can help the most and how you're actually going to help them, but how it relates to your story and how you've got to where you are in your life, as well as really figuring out your why and the purpose behind it.
You're listening to the Bookkeepers Podcast, sponsored by Xero.
I use Xero's accounting and bookkeeping software to manage my clients' accounts, and I love it. If you haven't tried it yet, head over to Xero.com with an X, and you can either start a free 30-day trial or sign up to Xero's partner program to join their amazing community of forward-thinking accountants and bookkeepers.
Hi, and welcome to the Bookkeepers Podcast. I'm Zoe Whitman. I'm here with Joe Wood, and we're joined by Phoebe Mason today. Hi, Phoebe. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're really excited to talk to you because we need to talk about being an introvert and how bookkeepers can use that, which we know we speak to so many people who would relate to the idea of being an introvert, and we want to explore that with you today. Just to say for anyone who's like tuning in and you're watching the video, I'm at Joe's today. So we're normally not on the screen like this. So we were just saying to Phoebe, this is like the first time we've ever done this here. So it's a bit of a strange setup if you're watching the video, but it's nice to be together. Yeah. Do you want to start by telling us a bit about your background and what you do?
Yes, certainly. So I am a personal brand and visibility coach. And as you said, I specialize in working with introverts, more so introvert coaches and impact makers, people who want to share their ideas with the world, have ways or things that could uplift, educate, inspire, and just a real desire to make a difference in the world. And that's who I like to work with the most, just helping them to get visible, show up, and be their authentic self. So that's what I do.
The thing is about being an introvert is that getting visible is really difficult. And we know that bookkeepers in our community definitely, I think, choose our profession because it feels like they can hide behind a computer. Now, they want to have massive impacts. They want to help people. There's none of that is like dampened down because they're an introvert, but it does make it more difficult. Why did you decide to work with introverts? Are you an introvert yourself?
Yes, I am. I am a massive introvert, honestly. You'd be surprised at how much time I spend on my own doing my own thing. But I suppose a good place to start with this is to just explain what introversion is, because some people might not actually understand it or have a different idea of what that means. So from my perspective and what has become known nowadays as the term of introvert itself is around your energy and how you tend to need to do things by yourself more because you thrive within your inner world. You are much more effective doing things by yourself. Not that you're against working as a team or anything, but you're much more effective because you have a rich inner world and you're inward focused rather than externally, which is for introverts, they get energy from others, being around others, doing things with other people, whereas with introverts that's quite draining and tiring. So that is kind of what has become known as introvert nowadays, and what people are when most people talk about being an introvert, that's pretty much the main aspect of it. But also I feel like it's around the way we think as well. And the best way to illustrate this is how I had a partner who he's not a huge introvert, but much more introverted than me. And he was always thinking out loud, always talking out loud to go through a thought process. He would have to speak it out loud. Whereas I really struggle with that. I struggle to get the words out of my head. I feel I need to go away, think about things, write things down. I'm very much an inward focused in that respect. So that is another aspect of what I believe is is an introvert. And so how I became to work with introverts, well, I basically started as a brand and website designer in the first year of being self-employed and working for myself. And what I found was that I was hiding who I was. I wasn't being me. I wasn't showing myself. I had one photograph, just one, that I was happy to share. And it was quite heavily edited, to be fair. So I was hiding who I am naturally, my authentic self. I wasn't talking about anything to do with me or my personal life. And I was just very much sharing bland, generic content that didn't appeal to, well, it shared facts and tips and advice, but it didn't really grip anyone, didn't show anyone what I was all about, what made me different. And so I was attracting these clients that just weren't the right fit for me. And there were a few that were really, really difficult to work with, and even left me in tears after like having conversations with them. So I got to this point where I was like, I'm not attracting the right kind of people. And what am I even doing with my business? Where am I at with it? So I went on what I call, what I now call my self-discovery journey of building my personal brand, to just figure out how I'm going to show up in the world, what I'm all about, how I'm going to inject that into my business and really show up as my authentic self. And through that journey, I really got to understand what it means to be an introvert. And so many things clicked for me when I realized that a lot of what was holding me back was because of my introvert nature. And it just made so much sense to work with and help introverts with this same journey. And that's how I became a personal brand coach for introverts. So yeah.
I love that. And I just wonder, can you talk about the self-discovery journey you went on? Because I think that Joe and I spend a lot of time talking to people about setting goals. And I think it's hard to set goals when you don't really know what you want. And I think it's hard to know what you want if you don't know who you are. So I wonder if you can, I know that might not be part of what you do right now, but just what did you do to think, okay, who am I? Like, so I can sort of start again.
Yeah, it's exactly what I do within my coaching. So it's going through, well, there's three elements to it that I can go through, but I find it's looking to find belief, balance, and belonging. And when you first look at belief, this is looking at what your values are, what you stand for, all of the things that make you within your beliefs how you actually want to, what you actually believe in and how you want to be seen and stand up for things in the world. So that's the first element. And then the second element's balance, which is really getting clear on your zone of genius and where you fit in the world, what you've got to bring, the value you've got to bring to the world, the approaches that work well for you so that you can take those to make them into methodologies and ways of working with other people, because they are the things that you are, they're what you stand for in terms of the way you work. They are your methods that work well. So when you get clear on your core capabilities, your strengths, what you have to bring to the table and all of the things that work well for you, that really brings a lot of clarity. And then the final piece is belonging. And that is really finding your people, finding your place and your people, understanding who you can help the most and how you're actually going to help them, but how it relates to your story and how you've got to where you are in your life, as well as really figuring out your why and the reason why you do what you do and the purpose behind it, but the core purpose behind it, which when I work with coaches specifically, it's very much driven by wanting to make a change or help them towards goals. So this whole kind of self-discovery journey of just really deep understanding, getting so clear on who you are as a person, what you stand for, your values, who you want to show up for, and everything about you. And when I started on it, I was in a complete mess. By the end of it, I was so clear on where I wanted to go and what I was all about that it gave me so much confidence and conviction, and and every day living my purpose now, my mission is wonderful. So yeah, that's how it goes, that kind of journey.
Wow. I think people see as introverts and extroverts. I think sometimes extroverted is seen as like a negative connotation. Like sometimes when you think of extroverted people, you don't always, I don't know, it's some maybe something that, and you know, I was an extrovert. I think weirdly, since COVID, I definitely recognize the introvert in me, because I thrived with not having as many social interactions. I think because I always thought I was. So, and I think there's so many ranges, and maybe you're extroverted in one scenario and introverted in another. But when people come to you, I would assume that people don't know that they're not having success and things because they're introverted. What we find is people think that they're failures, or that everyone else is just better than them and they're no good. How do you get someone to realize that it's not that, and it's just they're not really being their true self? I just find it fascinating. How are you talking to people to make them realize that they need someone like you to help them? Because I would assume we find people come to us with that imposter syndrome, and they're just like, well, it's just because I'm rubbish, rather than thinking, oh, I'm not putting enough of myself out there.
Yes, that's a really great question. The first thing I want to say about that is, yes, extroverts tend to have like a little bit of a bad rep nowadays, and it's kind of shifted a little bit, but that's just more because of the gregarious kind of out there personalities that you might see. And not all extroverts are like that either. So that's feeding into the stereotypes of introvert and extrovert, and the extrovert stereotype is that really out there personality. But we need both introverts and extroverts in the world. So there's nothing wrong with either, or even if you're in between, which is ambivert, which isn't really talked about as much. But yes, a great question. So, well, what I talk about the most, and it ties into a little bit of imposter syndrome, is self-silencing. And this is not necessarily an introvert-only thing, but it's something that I've identified as being the core problem that my clients and a lot of people struggle with when it comes to visibility and showing up as your authentic self specifically. And that is, self-silencing means that you are basically holding back from sharing your thoughts, your ideas, your opinions for fear of the consequences, but more so the perceived consequences. And it's very much an idea of that you worry things are going to happen, so you just don't do it in the first place. So I can get into the five core reasons why we self-silence, which we'll explain it a bit more. So the first one is that you worry that those you care about will see you differently. Mm-hmm. And so as you're putting yourself out there, you're thinking, well, what if someone in my family sees this and start to question me, they start to think something negatively of me or think differently of me in some way. So maybe I'll just not do it in the first place. And so that's really just avoiding any reason that someone could judge you and negatively change their opinion of you in any way. And so that is kind of the first reason that you might self-silence and hold back and be in being visible. The second reason is you feel you feel responsible for other people's feelings. And this one is where you might walk on eggshells and silence yourself because you don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. You don't want to upset anybody. You don't want to anger anybody. You're worried about how they're going to feel about what you're doing and the action that you're taking. So in the business world, this could be being salesy. That maybe you think you're being too promotional and sharing an offer too much, or you think you're going to irritate people by sending too many emails, and you just take on that responsibility of how they feel. Like, you just don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to upset anyone in any way. Another way this can show up is by not talking about your achievements and not really sharing them, because you think people are going to think you're boasting, or they're going to feel bad because you're being successful in that kind of respect as well. And okay, so the third reason is you feel your thoughts and ideas are insignificant. So instead of sharing something, you're thinking, oh, well, no one's going to care, so I'm not going to bother. Or, why would anyone listen to me specifically? Because I'm nothing special. So you kind of put yourself in that position of feeling like no matter what you do, it's not going to be good enough. So, or no one's going to even care about it. So what's the point? So that's number three. I've got two more, but I'm curious to know what.
What I'm thinking here. So. I'll probably go off on a little tangent. So I think Joe and I, as like personal, like, we work really, really well together. We're like very good friends, run a great business together, but we bring different skill sets. And I think there are situations where Joe is absolutely brilliant at like group stuff, and like Joe's brilliant at everything. But there are definitely times where I would say I relate more to being an introvert, although I might be the one in the middle, because I do things which you would say are probably not introvert traits. So there are things I can do, and I say to Joe, I can speak in this situation, because in my mind it's just me having a chat and I'm just saying something and I don't have to do the interaction part. And in a group I might be very overwhelmed. Yesterday I was with my kids in London and I got to a point, I was like, that's it, I'm done, I'm leaving London now, that is all I need to do now, and I need to like recharge my energy by being on my own in some way. So I think I am an introvert. Some of the things you've just described sound like confidence and self-esteem issues or traits, which I think maybe extroverts experience as well, because I think we can all silence ourselves when we feel like we can't get ourselves out there. And I'm just wondering, I suppose, like, how do we, you've obviously gone from realizing I'm an introvert, I need to show up as the person that I'm most comfortable with to be able to be successful. How do we encourage people who are watching this, whether they're introvert or extrovert, to work through those self-confidence, self-esteem barriers that are stopping them from getting themselves out there? Like, where do you start with breaking this down?
Yeah, so it's a good point. So one of the very starting points is understanding your personality and what introversion means to you, and how it is for you. So but yeah, there's also the whole misconceptions of what introvert means, and it is, you've got to separate some of these things. So understanding that you're an introvert, that it's okay to do the things that you thrive, doing, being by yourself in certain circumstances when you need it, thinking about your energy, but also taking that away from these other things that are stopping you, so that you're identifying what is different there. You're seeing that your introversion is a strength. It's a good, it's something that you can lean into. You can still be who you are naturally in your personality, but then identifying what is actually the things that are going to hold you back. Because just being an introvert doesn't mean you're not going to be able to be successful, be visible. I mean, I'm an introvert, I'm doing all these interviews, and you can get there. It's stepping stones and baby steps. But once you've identified what is your innate personality, being able to separate out what the other things that are holding you back, the confidence, the fears that might be stopping you, and really getting clear on what is the difference between your personality and the things that are getting in your way. So yeah, really great point to bring up. As for the next step, so yeah, when you start to identify these things and get clear, I think the first thing is just having all of this clarity gives you information that you can use to move forward. So if you identify yourself in any of these reasons, it's really, yeah, seeing how it shows up for you, where it really impacts you, and then being able to take the steps forward to move forward from that. And the main thing there is to just take small steps out of your comfort zone. So for instance, if you're worried that your family members are going to feel, if you're worried that they're going to judge you or say something or question you, it's maybe just take one of them aside, have a conversation with them to tell them what you're doing, and really start sharing your ideas and thoughts without everyone else seeing. It's taking that small micro step to tell somebody close to you what you're thinking about doing, and really testing the waters. And then you'll often find that your perception of what they might have said or the worry that you had was unfounded, because it's a perceived consequence of this self-silencing. It's something that we kind of make up in our heads.
I think just recognizing, listening, and I do want to hear the other two, because listening to those three, I'm like, yeah, I do, and I would say I'm more extroverted, but I still, there's those self-silencing things. So I think the first step is always recognition, acknowledgement. And it's quite interesting, actually. Last week I was talking to my 17-year-old daughter about something about the fact that I was like, oh, I feel really awkward about sharing this thing with somebody because I feel they're going to judge me. And I love just how she was like, Mum, they're already judging you, so just go and smash it. Like, they're already judging you for what you've already done. They're already judging you for this week. Like, she was like, why do you, like, they're already, like, so she went, you can keep yourself here or make yourself smaller. They're still going to judge you, or just go and smash it. And I was like, yeah, because actually I think there are multiple times I have had like family members say to me before, do you think you could stop posting so much on social media? It's a little bit awkward for us lot, you know? And I'm like, no, it's my business. But, you know, and I'm actually grateful that it was said out loud, because I knew that's what was being thought of. So, you know, it was an opportunity for a conversation. But sometimes I think we got to know, we might not change other people's minds. And there's a decision to make. Do we keep ourselves small? Do we not attract the ideal client? Do we stop speaking our truth and being truly us to please other people? Or do we want to make ourselves happy? So I think definitely recognizing, listening to those three, I was like, yeah, I've definitely silenced myself. Not all the time as well. And that's the thing. People might think, Joey, you never shut up. What are you talking about? Of course you don't silence yourself. But then I do in many situations, but not all the time. So I think there's so many different degrees and levels of where we might recognize, and it might be in certain situations. So we all know when I get on stage to talk, I love it when I'm in the moment, absolutely, and it's the highest of highs afterwards, absolutely, I'm thrilled. But the half hour before, I am a mess. I'm sweaty palms. I can't hold the microphone. But it's an adrenaline, and I recognize now that it's just my body getting ready to, I don't know, be the best version of myself, and it's okay. It doesn't feel great, but I try and reframe it and go, this is just excitement. You know you're going to be on cloud nine afterwards. Just go with it. So I think it's definitely all these things are about getting to understand ourselves more. And if we don't truly know ourselves, how can we understand what someone else is going through and why they're judging us? It's none of our business, really, is it?
So certainly all of that was like what I would recommend thinking about. So one thing that came to mind as you were speaking is it's just having those boundaries in place, having the, when you do the work to figure out what you stand for and your convictions, and you are then really clear on what you're going to talk about, what you're going to say, and what matters to you most. So when you do, as you said, sometimes you're going to find more resistance, you're going to feel more resistance, and that's because it can be something out of your comfort zone, it's something you've not talked about, it's something that it's a new idea that you've never shared before, and you're going to face these questions in your head and be worrying about, well, what's the reception going to be? But when you are so steadfast in your beliefs and you're confident in what you stand for, because you've done the work, you've figured out what you're all about, that's when it gets easier, because you can then reflect on the boundaries, or what I call impact rules is what I talk about a lot, creating the rules that you're going to live by. And if they all match up to that, if when you look at what you're going to share and you review your rules of how you're going to show up, you can see that, well, this is what I'm all about. Me sharing it is important to me, and I really believe in this, so I'm going to put it out there in the world, and I don't care if other people don't resonate with it, because it's who I am, it's what I'm about. And there will be, no doubt, people that do resonate with it anyway, because there's so many unique people in the world with different ideas and opinions, that there's always going to be someone who does agree with you and always someone that doesn't. So showing up anyway, for those people that will and that need you is important. So, yeah.
You said that there were two more ways we self-silence. Do you want, I know that people were like, what were they? No, it's like...
Yes. So the fourth one is one that comes up the most for my clients and when I speak to people, and it is, you're unsure you could defend your ideas. Ooh. And so this one is like when you're worrying that you're going to be put on the spot and questioned and even challenged about what you've said, what you're putting out there, the idea that you've shared. And it's not necessarily about the validity of your idea. It's about how you've articulated it, how you justified it, and how you do that when someone has an opposite opinion, or if they're going to question you. So it's not going to create any conflict, any debate. So shying away from anything that could create that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's probably more when if someone's going to share some kind of controversial opinion, but they're not always controversial. So I like to every now and again put something out there that is an unpopular opinion, because it's something that I believe but other people don't. So for me, one of those things is female entrepreneurs is not a niche, and I talk about that every now and again, because I just don't believe that it is, but so many people do. And we can have a debate about it, we can talk about it, but for some people, putting that out there, having anything that could create some kind of confrontation would be challenging. And really one approach to this is just adopting a mindset of curiosity and really seeing these as opportunities to learn rather than battles to be won. So it's just putting your ideas out there as a conversation starter rather than being, I am this and this is me. And it's being open-minded and curious about what other people have to say about things as well. And being able to express, having the freedom of expression in the world so that we can all have these conversations is what is important. Yeah. And then the fifth and final one is, you feel you don't have a right or you're not good enough. And this one is very much closely linked to imposter syndrome, I say, where you just feel like, well, maybe the idea is going through your head is something like, they've been doing it for longer than me, so what right do I have to talk about it? And really questioning your very right to speak up and be heard, as if there's an unspoken rule that you have to have met a certain standard, you have to have done it a certain period of time, you have to have got all the accolades, all of the qualifications. There's always something more that you need to have before you can speak on that topic.
We have that a lot, don't we, with bookkeepers? You know, there are always more exams, there's always more courses, there's always more this, that, the other that you can do. And we have to talk about a lot about the fact that, you know, yeah, you're never, even if you've got all of those exams, you're never going to know the answer to every question because it's impossible. And that's okay. But as long as you've got the want to help someone and say, do you know what, great question, I'm going to go and find the answer, and you've got the resources and the community around you to go and find the answer, that's what you need. I mean, most exams, I don't know about the bookkeeping exams at the moment, but I know when I've done my zero certification, it's like, have our community up, have our workbook up, because in the real life these days, you can Google anything. You can go and find the answer to anything you need. It's about making sure, is that the right answer for the person? Is that, you know, getting it validated by someone else? Do you have that skill set? That's what's needed. It's not having that instant answer to every question.
Yeah, definitely. And just knowing that you can go away, think about things, as you just have to communicate. It all comes down to communication with your clients and saying, okay, I don't know the answer to that right now, but when I come back to you, I will have an answer. For sure. Not feeling like you have to have all the answers in the first place.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned communication there, and I think maybe that's the crux of it in terms of introvert, extrovert. And, you know, the topic of this podcast is, how can we succeed as an introvert in business? If you, and maybe, you know, if you'd like to keep yourself to yourself and have a lot of time, not a lot of time on your own, I'm not saying like that's a massive stereotype, right? And that's not really true. It's just the way that you experience interactions and the way you would prefer your interactions to be. Maybe it's finding a way that you communicate that's best for you, and because we still have to find clients and we still have to be visible, and we do need to work on our personal brand and make sure people know who we are and know we're an expert and we're credible and all of those things. And we need to know, just whether you're an extrovert or not, we need to have confidence and belief in ourselves so we can charge properly and all of those other things as well. But where, if you are finding communication difficult because you are an introvert and you feel like this just isn't your thing, can't get yourself out there, how do you start with taking the action so you can start to find the clients? Like, what is realistic for an introvert business owner?
Really great question. So, well, what comes to mind after you just said that was the balance piece that I mentioned earlier. So when you are looking at your strengths and what your core capabilities are, you will also consider your energy and your capacity and all of those things as well. And so when you've done this work, what I suggest is having, and I kind of mentioned this already, is having your own rules for how you show up or how you work and operate in your business, having guidelines that you've created for yourself that you can stand by, and they encapsulate everything that you are. So one example for me to do with my energy is what I call my multi-purpose rule. The rule is something like, aim to make everything multi-purpose, but now I only remember multi-purpose rule because it sticks in my head. And the idea of that, and this is one of my approaches, this is something I talk to my clients when I teach them things, I talk to them about this as well. This is something that I live by as well. So it's really taking everything that I do and figuring out how I'm going to use it in multiple ways. So I came up with this because when I moved to my new house, I hadn't moved in yet, but I was having to stay at a friend's house and I wanted to go camping, and I was getting all this camping gear and I didn't know how much room I was going to have in my new house to store everything. So every piece of what I bought was something that I could then use in my house. So for one thing, instead of getting a plastic folding camping table that you might get when you go camping, I got this really nice wooden folding table that now I use as my living room table. And so I can fold it down and go camping with it, but then when I'm at home, it's my living room table. And the idea is that you're thinking ahead to be able to be more productive, to be more efficient, to think how you can utilize things in different ways and have multiple purposes for everything. So that is my multi-purpose rule. And the idea, and so I have multiple rules. I have all these rules that I kind of, that guide me, that I live by, that help me to stay in my zone of genius, live to my purpose, be clear on who I'm speaking to and what I'm all about, what I care about most, my values and everything like that. So they are the things that I use every day, that I look to, that guide me in everything that I do. And so if you wanted to start with that, all you have to do is just really start thinking about all of the things what your values are, and then creating these rules that you can guide you and that can become the things that help you to stay on track and go in the right direction for your business, and communicate as well what you're all about. So they become impact statements as well, is what I call them, where you can say them in a podcast interview, you could talk about them in your content. They become things that guide the way that you talk and speak and the ideas that you share. So that is one really not super simple way, but a great way to really get clear on everything that you want to stand for.
Yeah, create those, like, the frameworks that you
rules
live
of
by.
The game, I like
rules of the game, yeah, the game. Nice, yeah. It for us, like in our business, we talk about frameworks and yeah, the rules, your list of like how you're prepared to show up, what you're prepared to share. We like, if you're talking about social media or content, what are the things you talk about that you're happy to be talking about, and then you can sense check everything if you know in those moments about. Oh, Fifi, it's been amazing to speak to you. Thank you so much. I know everyone watching has really enjoyed this. Could you let us know how people can connect with you and find out more about what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. You can find me on fifimason.com/connect. And on there is links to my socials, my website, everything, and some free resources, as well as my book, Stop Self-Silencing.
Thank you so much. Thanks everyone who's tuned in today. We will see you next time for another episode of Bookkeepers Bootcamp. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Bookkeepers Podcast. Why not join us in the Six Figure Bookkeepers Club at sixfigurebookkeeper.club or visit our website, sixfigurebookkeeper.com.